Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for gathering your seats. And then once you found that seat, if you don't like it, move to some other place. You have my permission. This is not musical chairs, but we're a friendly bunch. Once again, hey, I invite you at this time. We're going to up our lights. We're going to grab our Bibles. We always find that right after worship is a perfect time to get into the Word. If this is your first time at Hope Chapel, again, thank you for being here. We're honored that you're here. We want you to feel right at home, feeling comfortable, engaged, not feeling restricted of anything. In fact, shortly after the message, we will be having communion. It's our typical approach. Every first Sunday of the month, we will have communion, and that is having of the bread and the juice, and that together we just want to declare our faith in the Lord. And it's a very powerful time as we recognize how God does miracles in our lives, and he does. And we're believing that there are signs that follow the preaching of the word. That's the beauty of that. Well, one of the signs, many of you are saying, hey, Pastor Paul, when are you going to bring back the mackerel? How many remember that? Yeah. Whenever there's a shocker and you just can't believe it. So here it is. Just want to throw it out there. Everybody say it with me. Here we go. Holy mackerel. Okay. There it is. You can get that yourself if you fish off the pier. How's that? All right. Don't take mine and say, look what I found. I have my Bible, and I also have a bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, please make sure you could raise your hand, and our ushers will get you a bulletin or a Bible. One of the delights that I have going on here is it's a new year. We have just a new startup of so many great ministries this week, our life groups, our individual age-appropriate groups. Good things are happening. Many of you are back from your extended little enjoyable holiday break, and so we're thrilled that you're back here at Hope Chapel. One of the things that I get a chance to do is not only launch a new sermon series, but especially exciting is our theme for this year. So if you'll look in the front of your bulletin, you'll see the logo for this year. The theme is God's Love Seen in 2018. God's Love Seen. You can see where it's actually aiming at the world. So we're believing how the Lord, not only we are that beautiful recipient of the love of God, but we are also, should be, biblically, the conduit of the love of God for others. So buckle up. We're excited about that. And we're shortening our verse. You can see in Mark 12 below the little globe there just simply says, love your neighbor. So just in case you're like, what does that look like? Well, it's to be expressed and to enjoy with each other. So in that thinking on the reverse side of your bulletin, we encourage us to take notes, to write those notes down. You can see the outline of today. It'll be also be on the PowerPoint. And I invite you to write things down. There are located pins in front of your seats. Write things down. Don't rely on your memory. I'm sure you probably forgot what was said or expressed. Many of you don't even remember who won the Super Bowl last year. See how we forget? So it's important we write things down, and therefore we can recall it, especially when we go to our selected life group that we just decide that's a good night of the week. I'm going to go to that life group. Well, let's, before we begin, as is the custom for any Christian, whenever we go after the word, we never want to rely on a human intellect. This is a book that's unlike any other book in the planet. This is a spiritual book. This is a uniquely orchestrated book by God. God, who's so smart, who made everything, he can certainly assemble a book like this by 40 different authors, many of those authors not even knowing the other would ever exist, over a span of about 4,000 years, showing us where everything came from and God's plan to redeem us to himself because of something that came to this creation called sin. And that at some point he brought in, as we just celebrated this Christmas, the Messiah, God himself, to redeem us from our sins, the mankind, our need for a Savior. And that's the joy of having communion. Well, with that in mind, we want to pray and just say, Lord, help us so we can get something out of this. We never want to waste anybody's time. It's always a purpose why you're here. It's not an accident that you are here right now. And so may the Lord increase your ability to retain and keep you alert. Sometimes we stay up way too late in the weekend or have come off of a swing shift or a late night shift at work. Let's pray. Father, thank you. That Lord, we really do want to hear your voice. And we know how you speak often right there to our hearts. So Lord, open the word to us this morning. Allow not only it to be understood this morning, but we really do want you to make an impact upon our own living arrangements, work environments, study sessions. May your glory come. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Well, our series is entitled God Loves People. Today's message is also going after that same title, God Loves People. I'm inviting you to find Mark chapter 10. We're in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but we are right there in Mark chapter 10. Now, we're looking at the element of God's love. Everybody loves love. Matter of fact, it's a joy because we get a chance. We look for love stories, love songs. We crave love. That's why I think the Hallmark Channel does so well, don't you? How many? Huh? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We could all write those same stories. You know what I mean? Splash a little ornate ornaments here and there. But people love love. We want to be able to express and experience unconditional love. We want to enjoy love with somebody else. We're looking for that. It's very healing to experience love as we know it. Dr. Menninger, his name is Carl Menninger of the Menninger Clinic that's in Houston, Texas. He went about doing a research on his own of how love might bring healing to his own clients. And so he told his staff personnel, this is what we're going to do. We will not tolerate any bad habits among us, bad attitudes among us. We're going to be creative in how we're going to handle our clients in demonstrating ways of love and expressions of love. And he discovered this, the vast majority of his clients stayed less than half of the normal time in the clinic because they were experiencing love like they had never experienced before. Matter of fact, Carl Menninger said this, love cures the ones who give it and the ones who receive it. There's a Swiss physician whose name is Paul Tunner. He said this, I'm convinced that 9 out of every 10 people who go to see a psychiatrist don't need one. What they need is someone who will show them God's love and they will get better. Well, no one shows love as good as Jesus. And we're going to take a look at Jesus because he loved the worst of sinners and he loved the best of saints. He loved to express that love in a variety of ways. And we want to look at that because in our weeks ahead, we're going to see how he loved the lepers. He loved the prostitutes. He loved young children. Jesus loved the older adults. He loved those who were religious people and even atheists. We're going to see a cross-section of our society using the scriptures to see, man, God does love people. But we recognize he does want to express that love through people just like you and me. There are some points. We think there are foundational truths that are going to line us up here. And I think it's found excellent right here in Mark chapter 10. Our first point is Jesus loves people. Look at Mark 10, starting with verse 17. It's dealing with the rich young little ruler. Verse 17, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, Go your way, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, let's take a look here, because this young man was marked. A couple of things that made him different from Jesus. We're going to look at here because Jesus is dealing with this young man in a different way. First of all, this young man really kind of felt that he may be on the same plane with Jesus, but he did not know what Jesus knew. In other words, he wouldn't have even asked, how can I inherit or receive eternal life? So Jesus knows everything. That's important to know. The second thing is that he was nowhere near the level of spiritual growth or authority like Jesus, because when he approached Jesus, he's saying, good teacher, even calling him teacher. In other words, you're going to be one of my mentors. What must I do? In other words, then Jesus brings everything into focus. Why are you calling me good? Nobody's good. How many know that would just kind of fillet anybody thinking, you know, I think I'm really kind of a good person. I'm a good guy. I really am a great gal here. When I look and do comparisons, and Jesus says, nobody's good except one, and that's God. And he was talking to God. The other thing is, this young man was self-righteous. Jesus laid out, said, well, if you're going to go ahead, let's remember these 10 commandments. And he said, hey, I've done them all. I've kept them since I was a youth. So he had no problem with his pride. And then he comes to that point where he was kind of gripped by the sins, because Jesus zeroed in one thing. You have this element of greed and materialism. And so when he started a deal, you could see, how did he respond to Jesus? He turned around and went away. What I do want to address when we're seeing this dialogue and understanding the exchange, look at verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, who knows everything, and there's a difference between him, Jesus, and this young man. I like that, where the Holy Spirit edits the word. He's looking at him, and he loved him. That word love is agape, unconditional love. This young man doesn't need to do anything. God's going to just love him. That's the way he is with you. That's the way he is with you. You don't have to do anything with this kind of unusual love. I wasn't born with that kind of love, and neither were you. It has to really come by the power of God to come into a person. We start to express things that are beyond our own normal self-focus and self-interest. But the love of God is amazing. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. Actually, that whole verse goes and says, if anyone does not love, he does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. So if you really want to know God, you're going to have to experience first his love for you, but then it has to come about where we love others. D.L. Moody said, there's no truth in all the Bible that should be affecting us as much as the love of God. Oh, wouldn't it be great that somehow you and I today get a fresh glimmer of just how much he loves us? And the beautiful element, too, is that nothing separates us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8 comes along, talks about that, 27 to 31, just amazing. Nothing that I do or you do will separate us. So our first point, Jesus loves people. Man, that is going to be our theme. That's where we're going to go. Let's take a look at our second foundation point. Jesus loves people individually. There is no specific way with which he addresses that. There's different expressions. They're unique. They're separately. They're independent in his approach to people. I'm sure his love has been expressed to you different and independently as well. Here's a couple of examples. Mark 10. You may want to write these down. I know you're going to flood right on into your life group this week and say, I got that verse. I got that reference. In Mark 10, verse 16, it says that Jesus picked up the little children, held them, and blessed them. So he's tender. Mark chapter 11, verse 15 through 17. Man, he instantly then goes on into the synagogue and drives out those merchants that are just kind of making a mockery of just a place that should be a place of prayer. So you can see he's tender, and all of a sudden he just changes all of a sudden. So there's never really a canned approach. Some of the snippets that are important to us to recognize, here they are, about the woman caught in adultery. That's John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Remember where Jesus came to her and said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she looked up at him and said, "There are none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Man, what a great approach in showing that kind of love. How about the ostracized leper there in Mark chapter 1, 40 to 42? He comes up to Jesus, and you would not ever touch a leper. They're unclean. But it says that he came to Jesus, "Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean." Man, what a great statement. And Jesus says, "I will." The reference there in Mark's gospel says he was moved with compassion and then touched him. Wow. What a way to express that kind of love. Sometimes you don't even have to say, "Hey, I love you, man," and then off you go. There's ways with which those are done. How about the scribes and Pharisees? That was a little different. In Matthew 23, verse 27, he actually says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You're really whitewashed tombs, and you know really what's going on. You look good on the outside, but on the end, you got some dead corpses going on, and you smell. You're unclean." So you can see where Jesus reacts. Sometimes he's calling people by name. After his resurrection, he called out to Mary Magdalene in John 20, verse 16, called out to Peter. There are times that he will declare people with new names, where he talks to the Pharisees again in Matthew 23, verse 33, calling them a brood of vipers. So when we take a look here, that call or that dealing with people, sometimes it's public, whereas he called out for Matthew and he said, "Matthew, come," Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, "Matthew, come, you follow me, come." It was a public declaration. Can you imagine saying, "I'm picking you"? So you can see there's difference here. There's been also an expression, two different funerals Jesus attended. The first one is listed there where he told people, "Stop crying, don't cry." That's listed there in Luke chapter 8, verse 52. Another one he attended, the funeral of his friend, in John chapter 11, verse 35, where he weeps this time. Now, both funerals, he's about to resurrect those dead people up. But you can see there's different approaches to God dealing with people and with his love to people. So when we look here, we can recognize that the love of Jesus is not really tailor-made for everybody, but he loves unconditionally. You've got to be ready for how that love might come and be in display to you. A great example is how a parent might deal with their children. Parents often will be found giving gifts to their children on Christmas or birthdays or maybe special occasions. And then that's love expressed. Then there'll be other times where that child may be deserving of discipline, even possibly spanking. Both expressions display love, but they come in a different way. Same with God. When we look at number three now, Jesus loves people through us. We have Jesus loves people. Jesus loves people individually, differently. Then number three, he loves people through us. We recognize that Jesus did come. He taught, he lived, he loved, he died, he ascended after his resurrection. So how is Jesus going to love you today? He loves us through what's called the body of Christ. He uses people just like you and me, who have been influenced and affected by the love of God. We are his hands. Who's going to reach out to that person that you say, "Oh, poor person, I just hope somebody gets a hold of them and helps them"? We are his feet. Who's going to go over there? Just say, "I just hope they come my way. Hope they come my way. I'm not going to go." You are his feet. We are also his ears. You know, sometimes people who are hurting just need a good listening ear. Who will listen to me, not lecture me? Who will listen to me? And we're his voice, giving counsel or encouragement and sometimes confrontation. Just need to confront this person in the name of the Lord. I love it where John 13, 34, remember when Jesus told the disciples, hey, a new commandment I'm giving you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Jesus, how do we love each other? How? Well, here it is, the way I've loved you. Now, there could be somebody here that says, well, that's really dealing with disciple to disciple. That's true. But there's also the Mark 12, citing our reference. Remember a new commandment? The first is love God with all you have. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. The real kicker is dealing with when we start to deal with, well, what if we don't want to love maybe the prostitutes or the homosexuals or things like that? Man, Jesus came along and he said there very clearly in Matthew 5, 43 and 44, hey, you love the unlovely. You love your enemies. That's a challenge for all of us. So you can see here, how will Jesus love the world? He's going to use people just like you and me. You can be a good doctor and not love your patients. You can be a good lawyer and really don't love your clients. You can be a very good geologist and not love science. You're just like, well, I just kind of learned it. But you will never be a good Christian without love. It's an impossibility. So when we start to deal with this, how does that love start to come? Well, friends, it's really not of us. We, by nature, gravitate to those who love us back. It's called conditional love. If you respond to the way I expect you to respond, I will pay you with affection. That's kind of the way it is in our society. Women crave affection, so they'll give sex. Men crave sex, so they'll give affection, but neither one could actually maybe really be genuine. When we take a look at this supernatural kind of love, it comes by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says that. Now may the love of God, which has been poured out or shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you can tell. I've had people say, well, how do you know I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I don't necessarily speak in that new language called tongues. Am I filled? Well, yeah, you are. But one of the greatest signs, and to have your ability to pray in the Spirit is so important. Man, it's a great asset to be able to pray in tongues. What a gift to have that and to do that style of ministry. But the greatest sign that you're filled with the Spirit is to love for people. To have a lack of love. That's where 1 John 4, 8 comes along. He who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. So it's important for us to say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to love. I can love certain people. I just can't love everybody. Well, that's where we just need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. How's that, huh? Lord, you've got to help me. The Word is saying one thing, but man, my attention and attitude is going differently. That's the joy of just following, living for God. You get a glimpse of the bullseye, the aim. We're going that way. But yet, you realize, Lord, I need your help. And I love it when we're dependent upon the Lord like that. Therefore, nobody's going to get credit except God himself, who inhabits his people in such a way. So we're to be conduits of his love, not just recipients of that love. We love the idea that God loves us, but we really have a hard time. It should not stop there. We really need to express that love to others. And I must add, church history, by and large, if you study church history, Christians haven't really been all that good at expressing love. That's why the Lord said, I'm giving you a command here. This is going to be something you really want to aim for. You remember even the apostles who argued about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. You know, just, hey, you're not going to get one out on me. It was James and John. They got the nickname Sons of Thunder. Isn't that great? It's listed there in Luke chapter 9, 51 to 54. They come to Jesus and they're kind of ticked off because this other grouping over here is kind of doing some good things. And so James and John come to Jesus and say, you know, they're really not with us over here, Jesus. Why don't you let us do this? How about it if we could command fire to come down from heaven on them and just take them out like Elijah did? Remember that? Sons of Thunder. It's a good name for those dudes, huh? And Jesus said, let them alone. If they're not against us, hey, they're really for us. That's a good word, isn't it? Man, just God's working through them. They're unique. But in church history, we even have in our scriptures, Book of Corinth, the church at Corinth had division, lawsuits, immorality. How about church history with the Crusades? And then you have the Spanish Inquisition, Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland going at each other. And we really haven't done much better. That's why I think the church, once again, Lord, baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. Because we're kind of circling the wagons about, well, I really need to store up for myself things that are so necessary for my retirement, for my safety, for my security. But how about the love of God being shared as well? How about fourth and finally, Jesus loves people through us, yes, but us responsibly. And that's an important one. We're going to go to the book of Philippians. You can see it listed there on your notes. If you go to the right of Mark, past Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1. While you're looking for that, remember Jesus, he loved the young man we looked at in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, citing. But it wasn't a sappy, sentimental love, was it? It wasn't just something that he just said, well, hey, I love you, young man. No, it was a responsible love. Jesus loved this young man responsibly. He confronted him with his failure. Hey, one thing you lack, dude. I love you. One thing you lack. Then he told him what was keeping him back. Man, you're kind of like into materialism here. You got a lot of stuff. And then he told him, this is what you do. Here's your game plan. Go sell everything, give it to the poor. And then, good for you, you get to follow me. Take your cross. And we know the response to that. I actually think church history, the guy came back and thought it through. How about it? It's always good to think through when you make a decision big like that. Follow Jesus. But love doesn't turn a blind eye to just every kind of behavior in the name of tolerance. Have you ever heard that word, tolerance? Let's just tolerate everybody. We'll just let you be the kind of person you want to be, whatever you want to do, as long as you want to do it. We'll just have tolerance for you. But that's not true love. That's not responsible love. Real love would say, man, you keep going with that. Man, somebody's going to wipe you out. That's the beauty of life group and getting together with accountability and just kind of sharing your story and grow life's growth in each other. There has been time throughout the years, my life, and dealing with people or hearing from other people, that somebody will come up to me and say, Pastor, you know what that person's doing? Man, they shouldn't do it that way. Well, you're with that person. Did you tell them so? No, I'm telling you so you can go tell them. I said, wow. What in essence we might do from time to time is, well, that dude, he should have learned that back in grade school. And now this guy's like in his 40s. What's wrong with this guy? He deserves a crash and burn. Well, that's not love. Love would say, you know, there's a better way and a better approach. That person may have not had an at-home parent to help mentor and show and express things. But God's raised somebody up, maybe like you, to say, hey, let me show you a better way. Very helpful. That's responsible love. God loves people through us responsibly. So sometimes love will embrace and encourage. Sometimes love will confront and rebuke. It's amazing. That's love. So when we take a look here at Philippians chapter 1, I've invited you to find that. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter and writes what he's praying. Look at verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. So we take a look at verse 9. Look at that. That word abound means to overflow. Verse 9, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. It's probably the way they're trying to express that, which means it's going to flow beyond its barriers, beyond its boundaries. It's going to have a gush beyond. You say, well, that sounds so great. Yeah, there can be things like water. You know, it's going to be excellent as we get our rain. Isn't it good? Water timely, water contained. But we've had seasons in our nation that water has come a little too out of control. River jetties overflow their banks, coming over from the ocean into mainland. I mean, water, when it loses its boundaries, is destructive. And the Apostle Paul says, love without boundaries can be destructive. Could actually destroy. What? No way. That's why he says, look at verse 9 again with me. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. We could use this as the embankment of a jetty or a river, the boundaries being, he says, love has knowledge, love has discernment. Both boundaries keep that love functioning properly. Well, the word knowledge is the Greek word epinos, which means just knowledge or know what love is and what it's not and how to use love properly. Man, I know what love is, and I'm going to use it this way. That's a boundary to make sure it doesn't go in the wrong direction. Discernment, or discern, means to distinguish. That mature love learns to distinguish the right way to initiate or to move in that love. That's important. When we deal with that, we could literally put it in this way, verse 9, I pray that your love would flow so freely, but within the boundaries of knowing what really love is and how it is to be used. So when we take a look at this, it's important because two examples of what love is, and we'll just enjoy these examples as we gear up for communion this morning. One example of just how love that has no boundaries would be where a parent comes along and recognizes that their child just is demanding whatever, whenever they want, and that after all, I need to show that child I love them, so I'm just going to give whatever they demand. How many know that the boundary within that shore break would be use knowledge. You should know better than to do it that way with that child. You will destroy that child out of your love. That's how that works. I love that child. Well, then keep it within the boundaries of knowledge, how to operate in that love. Another person would come and say, you know, I loved my spouse at one time. I've fallen out of love. I've fallen in love with another person. Well, you know that kind of love will destroy a lot of people. Man, have some discernment here. You know you shouldn't do that. You know better. That kind of love, knowledge and discernment, so important. So when we take a look at this, how that in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. While we get ready, verse 9 of 1 John 4, and prepare ourselves for communion, says that in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Isn't it great to not only just live in fellowship and friendship with the Lord, but to actually live, I mean, really live. Where you just realize, man, if somebody comes up and spends any time with you, they're gonna have a little taste of maybe what God the Father's like. The disciples asked that about Jesus. Ah, Jesus, just John 14, show us the Father and it will suffice. And Jesus, man, dudes, Have I been with you so long? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Wouldn't it be great that, don't you know, if you've hung out with those people at Hope Chapel, you've been with the Father? Ah, I love that. Man, Jesus loves people. Jesus loves people individually. It's amazing how he will not have any canned responses. He loves people through us. And definitely, how is he going to do it? He's going to love people through us responsibly. God's going to help us, and we're going to see some amazing things. And it's a whole new season for you, and I'm so glad that you're here. And one of the great joys would be that we get that fresh reminder of God's love by sending his Son and dying on the cross. We're going to enjoy communion together. We welcome each and every one of you to participate with us and have a communion element. I'm inviting now those who are helping me serve you communion to join up front here, please. Let's all wait till we've been served the communion elements. And then I'll come back and we'll direct communion. We'll have it together. Said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are remembering my death until I come for you. He's coming again, but we also look back and remember what he's done for us. What did he do? naturally said, this is representing my body. You're going to believe that I came, God Almighty came in human form, and that I died in that human body and rose again. He says, I did this for you. Now, as we participate in taking these elements, we're reminding ourselves, but we're also believing at the same time. This is not something that is a Hope Chapel directive. This is something that has been a directive from the Lord at one Passover in the Scriptures. So with this, we recognize that He is our healer. By His stripes, we are healed. That you can believe for a miraculous physical healing because of what He did on the cross and the resurrection. But you access that by faith. This is even a faith statement right now. Those who are watching by home, if you don't happen to have bread or juice accessible, then these are just frail elements. It's interesting that the Lord didn't want granite or maybe brass somewhere, monument structured up. He just frail little elements left by themselves. They would just decay. But it's an issue of the heart. And God's dealing with our hearts right now. So if we need healing or we ever want to believe for continual healing, why? Because of what Jesus did with His body for your body to be healed. The element two, since we are so capable of sinning, we need to remember ourselves and keep ourselves humble by allowing the Lord once again, Lord, wash me clean, forgive me of my sins. It does not matter how often you commit that sin per day. Always make sure you come back to the Lord and say, please forgive me. Till I get victory over this, Lord, I need your help. Forgive me. 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going for that cleansing this morning. Start that year out right. So as you just hold that wafer up, we're going to just once again, Lord, we believe not only did you come in human body, that body was severely mistreated, but Lord, we can believe for healing and victory over things that try to destroy our human body. Lord, we're speaking healing, wholeness. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and snap that wafer. Let's go ahead and we'll enjoy it together. The juice, once again symbolizing the shed blood of Jesus, that's also a faith statement. Scripture's so clear, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So He took the punishment, but you can actually be forgiven. Forgiveness is not because you have somehow acquired an element of strength or perfection. That's not going to happen on this side of heaven. But we do want to just say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. Not just moment by moment, all the way to glory. Jesus was the one that said in John 14:6, that He's the way to heaven, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. And this is how He took the punishment for your sins. Would you give that to Him? Would you give that? Sometimes our biggest hang-up is pride. We don't want to tell anybody. We don't want to confess it. Something of our fallenness that says, I can still do it without help. And the most freeing statement is, I can't. I need God and I need others in my life. This is, here we go, giving our lives and cleaning us up right now. Lord, we thank you as we hold this portion, for giving your life, washing us clean. Lord, you know our sins, though there are many. Lord, you will never remember them again because you already paid the price. Help us, Lord. We believe in Jesus' name. Go ahead, let's enjoy it together. Thank you, Lord. going to invite you, if you wouldn't mind, let's stand to our feet. We're going to have Sean and our team lead us in this song, and you just pass your cups to the side, outside aisles. We'll have our ushers come by and gather them up. But let's just make a declaration with this song, and you who are at home, please continue to sing with us as well.
In consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name.
Of Billy Graham resonating, God loves you with an everlasting love. So Lord, we want to thank you. We take that promise found right there in Jeremiah 31:3, which says, the God of old has said unto me, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. Jeremiah 31:3. Lord, thank you for all of us who have been able to enjoy our time together. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love. It never stops, and it never goes away. We sure thank you and love you for that too, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Please be seated. Ainsley's going to come. Ainsley, thank you, my dear wife. She has some
announcements. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.